Morning. I am Deacon Tyler, and I was laughing with Pastor Bob this morning about being the token veteran in our church. We've actually had other veterans here at Submerged Church. They're just not here this morning. Just notably, Michelle as a veteran as well, that comes here to Submerge as well. And Veterans Day, I was asking my girls about the next holiday, and I said, did you know what the next holiday is? And they knew it wasn't Christmas, because that's in December. Their guess was Valentine's Day, then it was St. Patrick's Day, And I said no, and eventually I told them it was Veterans Day, and they said Veterinarian Day, and so I got to inform them of what Veterans Day is. And if you don't know, I know that sometimes it's confusing. Veterans Day, Memorials Day. Veterans Day is the one where they specifically try to honor the living soldiers. There is, obviously, you do remember those that have lost their life, but their lives, I should say. But Veterans Day is really for the living. And, you know, that's really fitting, because when we think about Jesus, he's our living God. And we celebrate a living God who died but rose again. And Jesus is a survivor. When I think of Veterans Day, I think about heroes, and I think about people who went above and beyond. And there's nobody probably more famous, even if you're not a believer, than David and Goliath. David going up against a giant with a mere sling and a few stones against a giant of a man that, as he spoke, others just were in fear of him. Nobody wanted to face Goliath. And David did it mano a mano, man on really boy. And he did that because he had faith. He believed that God would deliver him. He believed that no matter who he faced, what he faced, God would deliver him victory. And as we know, God did. But pound for pound, in a normal fight, we would think that he wouldn't stand a chance. If we saw it in modern day times, pound for pound, we would say this is a rigged fight, and who is allowing this to happen? I like to watch kung fu movies. I like to watch action movies, boxing, MMA too. And a lot of times when you're watching fights, you can tell when one person is outmatched, when one person is in a class of their own. But people love a good underdog story. And David and Goliath is, again, one of the greats. And so this chapter, 2 Samuel 23, is about David and his last words. And as Pastor Paul alluded to, the beginning of it is, to me, a verbal grandstand, a grand introduction to David, because it is basically announcing in different ways who David was before he goes into his poem and the words that he said. So we'll jump right into that part. The oracle of David. Now these are the last words of David, and the oracle of David, the son of Jesse. Now, part of that right there in the NIV version, it says the inspired utterance of David really is those words that David spoke were just not his own. Being an oracle really is, you were a vessel spoken, God was speaking through you. So the power of what you were saying was just not of mere mortal intelligence, human intelligence. It was something that was absolute truth. You know, God doesn't not speak the truth, obviously. And so people weighed that when he spoke. And when they described that, that is what they meant by the oracle or the inspired utterance of David. And then the son of Jesse was talking about lineage, royal lineage. You know, when you think of royalty and they would introduce them, they would talk about the lineage of who this person was. They would talk about their position, like the prince of such and such, family of such and such. They would speak of that because it would speak to the lineage of where you came from. And for David, he was the son of Jesse, which weighed when you back in those times, it would weigh in of the legacy and the lineage that he came from. Going on, the oracle of the man who was raised on high, again speaking through not just a man that said his own words, but a man that was inspired by God, spoke through God, and raised on high. This is meaning that he was elevated above others. One of the important things about David also is, as David was a king, and kings had prophets who were the almost only ones who could challenge a king, stating, hey, this is from God, and I know you're thinking this, but I want to tell you, God says this. Now, even as a prophet, you would fear saying something that directly contradicted what the king was thinking or saying. Even prophets would fear for their life. But knowing that they had a calling from a higher power, they were called to speak it no matter what. Well, David, because of stating that he was spoken through by God, which they called an oracle, held the power of a prophet and a king. So as they speak about David, he held the authority of power of both, which really would be a danger, because that really was meant to be kind of a checks and balance for a king. But David was so close to God that God spoke directly through him quite a bit. Now, he wasn't a man that was flawless. We know this. As you read up and know more about David, he had some severe mistakes that happened through him. But as they introduce him, this is what they are alluding to. They are talking about and describing him in that. Then they said, the sweet psalmist of Israel. Of course, David wrote so many songs and poems. And this actually continues on. A section of it is a poem. The next part says, the Spirit of the Lord speaks by me. His word is on my tongue. The very words of God are on his tongue. That's self-stating this now instead of introducing it to us of that. The God of Israel, the Rock of Israel, has said to me, when one rules justly over men, ruling in the fear of God, he dawns on them like the morning light, like the sun shining forth on a cloudless morning, like rain that makes grass to sprout from the earth. We, no matter who you are, have a power over other people. Maybe if you're Noel or Ivan, you don't. All right? Everybody else in this room does. You're a father, a mother, pastor, deacon, a supervisor, a shift manager. You're a coworker. You have the ability to influence others. You're an older sister, older brother. You are, because of that, have the ability to be a leader. And when you lead, you can lead in, or you can choose to not to lead. But you have the opportunity to lead in this spiritual war that Pastor Paul talked about, that he alluded to. You know, I was thinking of the kids' song about being in the Lord's army. And it's just so fitting because we might not ride a horse, shoot the artillery, or fly over the enemy. But the truth is, we can choose to lead in the Lord's army. We can choose to lead in everyday life. And when we think about heroes, and we think about people who laid their lives on the line for others, we can do that in small ways every day. This is a spiritual war that's going on every day. It's going in your life. It's going on in my life. It's going on all the time. And what you can do in little ways will ripple through other people's lives and will bless your own. We get to choose, hey, am I going to be God's mighty hero? Am I going to be God's mighty warrior? The Medal of Honor is an award that is given out to people who do great things. I'll tell you, read it verbatim what they describe it. To any soldier who has distinguished themselves conspicuously by gallantry or intrepidity at the risk of his own life above and beyond the call of duty while engaged in action against the enemy of the United States. There's some 3,500 plus Medal of Honor people who have been recipients of this award. And there's a lot of prestige that goes into that. And I can't imagine getting into a situation where I would have an opportunity to earn one of those medals. I had never saw combat, and praise the Lord that I'm able to be here today. But I tell you, when Memorial Day goes around or Veterans Day, I take extra time to read up on times that people have been awarded the Medal of Honor and other awards, because it helps me remember and honor them for the things that they have done. I thought it'd be fitting that we read some of these, because the truth is, some of these are quite profound. The first Medal of Honor was given to a private in the Civil War. And it was actually a combat that didn't go so well, but they gave it to him anyway. It was part of the Union Army, and they went and they snuck into Atlanta, and they went to cut telegraph lines and destroy railroad tracks and attempt to burn bridges. They got caught. They actually fixed most of the damage fairly quickly, and most of them died, but they gave Private Jacob Parrott the first Medal of Honor. Him and a few others of his soldiers. The first African-American to win the Medal of Honor was William Harvey Kearny, and he was a slave in Virginia and eventually made his way to freedom in Massachusetts, where he accepted to join the army as a volunteer. And it was part of the first African-American unit organized by the Northern States, though it was led by white officers. The regiment had the task of taking Fort Wagner, and the first attack failed, and on the second attack, the 54th was chosen to attempt to take it again. And this gentleman actually had, on the attack, had grabbed the Union flag because the flag bearer had dropped it. And he saw that he had dropped it, and he grabbed it. Now, back in those times when it was war, the flag represented something that your side was confidently still attacking. The moment the flag dropped, if you didn't see that flag come back up, your courage dropped. It was, okay, things are going bad. You would start thinking about retreating really fast. And he grabbed that flag and he held it for the rest of the duration of the battle. And I can't imagine holding on to a flag in the middle of combat where everybody basically can see everybody and you're just formed up to shoot across this field at each other. And by that time, they had got rid of the basic formations, but a lot of their formations still were just, hey, I see a guy and we're in a line and we shoot at each other. And he held on to the flag. And at the end, they talked to him about it, and he said he was just doing his duty. He was awarded the Medal of Honor in the 1900s. The Medal of Honor has been awarded to one female ever, and that female was Mary Edwards Walker. It was during the Civil War. Mary Edwards Walker was a surgeon. She was a medical doctor, and she tried to join the Union Army, and they would not take her because she was a woman. She declined to work as a nurse and instead accepted an unpaid volunteer position at a military hospital on the front lines. In 1863, she was finally allowed to work as a contract acting assistant surgeon. She wore a modified uniform of her own that she designed that would look like the men's uniform. During her service, she devoted herself with much patriotic zeal to the sick and wounded, both in the field and hospitals. She was captured by the Confederates, but released in a prisoner exchange. Major General William Sherman and George H. Thomas both commended her for her service, and President Andrew Johnson awarded her the Medal of Honor in 1865. Her award was temporarily rescinded in 1917 when it was determined she was a civilian. Medal of Honor is only for soldiers. She refused to give the medal back, and she wore it till the day she died in 1919. The President, Jimmy Carter, reinstated her award in 1977. She is still the only female to ever receive the Medal of Honor. Daniel Daly, I don't know if you guys heard of Daniel Daly. If you like war movies or stories, you might have. Daniel Daly is one of two Marines who have received the Medal of Honor because of two different engagements. There has been a few others that have received it for the same engagement, but he actually received it for two different conflicts. He also was so... I'll just use the term amazing, that people thought he should have received a third and fourth Medal of Honor, but the government felt if they did, it would dilute the meaning of Medal of Honor, and that they didn't think that people would take it as courageously. So they refused to give him the third and fourth and actually just gave him other awards. If you do some research on it, he was pretty amazing. The first Medal of Honor that he received his unit had managed to take the Tatar wall. The whole unit left him by himself to defend a wall. They left him by himself overnight. And what he was guarding was a lot of U.S. Christians and diplomats was in this village where he was behind the wall. And they needed to go and get reinforcements. So the unit went to go get reinforcements and supplies, and they left Private Daniel Daly on the wall. He had a rifle, one machine gun, and some grenades. He defended it all night long. And in the morning, when the unit came back, they found over 200 men died on the wall from 200 men, enemies that had, were laying on the ground that he had defended off. I can't imagine defending off 200 men all night long. His second, he was a gunnery sergeant by then, and he led 35 other Marines. And in that, they were surrounded and they were attacked by over 1,000 enemy soldiers. They killed 400, and he never lost one Marine in that battle. He went on to win, again, as I stated, a lot of other awards. He actually received from the French country, I think it was 4 or 5 different awards as well, because they were so thankful for what he had done as well. Ron Benavides was a master sergeant in the Army Special Forces who was awarded the Medal of Honor for his actions in a firefight that has been called 6 hours in hell. In April of 1968, an American unit was on a patrol west of Loc Ninh near the South Vietnamese-Cambodian border, where they ran into 1,000-man Northern Vietnamese Army Infantry Battalion. A unit on patrol usually consisted of 20 to 30 men. Benavides voluntarily boarded a helicopter to reinforce the unit and was dropped in the fight for his life. He ran to a pinned-down unit after being dropped off, and on the way, he was wounded in the right leg, the face, and the head. He took control of the soldiers, dragged half of the wounded to the medevac helicopter that ran alongside the helicopter as it moved to pick up more wounded. As Benavides went back to secure classified documents from the body of a dead soldier, the helicopter pilot was mortally wounded, and the aircraft crashed. Benavides secured the documents, went back to the helicopter, aided the wounded off the overturned aircraft. He guided the men to a defensive position and called in airstrikes. When another helicopter came, he ferried the wounded, killed one Northern Vietnamese soldier in hand-to-hand combat while still wounded in a leg, shot in the face, shot in the head. He killed two others that were charging the helicopter. After making sure all the wounded were on board, Benavides collapsed and was pulled onto the helicopter. Thinking he was dead, a doctor put him in a body bag, only stopped zipping it up when Benavides spat in his face. Benavides sustained 7 major gunshot wounds, had shrapnel in his head, scalp, shoulder, buttocks, feet, legs, had both of his arms slashed by a bayonet, and a collapsed lung. He was originally awarded the Distinguished Service Cross because his superiors thought he would die and wanted him to be awarded before his death. In 1981, his award was upgraded to the Medal of Honor. There is more and more stories I could read, and I only grabbed 13. I didn't read them all. when we go back to 2 Samuel chapter 23, David had his own men. And his men were amazing fighting men of God. When we think of amazing fighting men, in chapter 23, verse 8, it talks about Joab Behasabeth. He raised his spear against 800 men whom he killed in one encounter. 800 men in one encounter. If you've watched The Matrix, there's a part where Neo's defending off Mr. Smith, and there's a whole bunch of them. He had duplicated himself, and there's just waves and waves of him going and grabbing them. And at one point, Mr. Smith grabs a lot of them, grab him down, and it looks like he's going to be simulated. That's how he was doing it, and then he jumps up and knocks them all off of him. I can't imagine that this was going to be a whole lot different. 800 men. You know, as I did the math on that, I started to calculate. I had my wife measure how wide I am, and I thought about how long these spears were and how big each man would stand next to each other and what that looked like if he was surrounded by 800 men. And if they all, which I doubt they were perfectly lined up next to each other, there would be 17 rows of men. In the first flank, there would be 10 men surrounding him. And then it would go on till 17 rows of men side by side were surrounding one man. The guys in the back couldn't even see this guy if there were that many rows, because they would be standing about 45 feet away from him, with 16 men in front of him looking at this one guy. He stood there with a spear. And with faith in the Lord, he defended against 800 men in one encounter. And you know, if I wasn't a believer, I would go, that's a nice story. But Hebrews 4:12 said that this Bible, this word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerning thoughts and intentions of the heart. And that I believe as a believer, as I believe we do, all of us do, that this is absolute truth. 800 men. It's one for the storybooks. The other ones I talked about, 200 men. Even the 1,000 still had a whole bunch of other guys with them. This man defended them. So, why is this important? Well, one, it's Veterans Day. Tomorrow it is, anyway. And we want to honor the veterans. And I love when I go to Lowe's. And this isn't a advertisement for Lowe's, but they have parking for veterans. Their employees that are veterans have a little thing that says that they're veterans, and I love going in there and thanking them for their service. But more importantly, above and beyond that, is that we are in the Lord's army. And we are called to be leaders in this army, and we all can be heroes. One day I will stand with you in heaven, and God will call out his awards. He will honor us with the things we have done. And to be honest, the things of the Bronze Star, Distinguished Cross, and all these will pale in comparison to the things that God has honoring us for. We all can be God's mighty warrior. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for men and women that lay their life on the line, those who end up sacrificing their life, those who volunteer to do it, and they, praise the Lord, don't have to. Thank you for the families that are connected to these veterans, Lord, because they sacrifice, put a lot on the lines as well. Think of the wives and the children that have lost, and husbands that have lost their spouses, Lord. Parents that have lost their children. But today we celebrate those living veterans, Lord. And I pray that as we move forward today, that we remember that we can be your mighty warrior, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen.